You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos over here on the Locked On Podcast Network, part of the Locked On NFL branch. This is your host, Cody Rourke, writer, contributor over at Predominantly Orange, as well as NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos nationally. Today, I'm joined by Sarah Bettinger, editor over at Predominantly Orange, and obviously a good friend of mine who has been doing a lot of phenomenal things here, especially with the NFL regard to that. Just got back from the Senior Bowl. Sarah, man, how are you doing?
Wow, Cody, I'm doing great. Thank you for the kind words, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man. You know, I've always enjoyed, you know, even before I started writing for Predominantly Orange about a year and a half ago, I've always appreciated your work. And so anytime I can get you on here to out of your busy life, I know you're busy, got all these things going on, but anytime I can get on here and talk football with you, I know I appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners here over at Locked On Broncos love it as well. Obviously, the last episode we did, they loved your take on things. And obviously, a lot of people cover you and follow you based off of Predominantly Orange. So very excited, man. And now there are a couple things we're going to talk about here on tonight's show. Obviously, first off, it's the big game. The big game is finally here in the National Football League. Super Bowl 52, New England Patriots versus Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk about that in our first segment and then transition into our second segment. We're going to talk about which area of need on the Denver Broncos defense could be used, you know, to upgrade. Who could be an upgrade on the Denver Broncos defense? I have a couple suggestions of mine. And obviously, you being at the Senior Bowl, you got to see some very talented prospects in practice. And obviously, we got to see the Senior Bowl game. We'll talk about that. And obviously, we'll talk about your whole entire recap. You know, tell us exactly how much fun it was going to the Senior Bowl. So obviously, that is our quick look ahead to what we're going to be talking about here with Sarah tonight. So obviously, let's jump into segment number one. Now, Sarah, Super Bowl 52 is here. And I tell you what, it seemed like a long NFL season from the standpoint of, obviously, from a Denver Broncos side of things, we've been analyzing the quarterback situation since training camp and anticipating that, well, this team could go far this year. And then obviously, the Broncos season fell apart after the bye week. And it was a long year. It was hard to get through. Uh-huh. You know, I know you feel the same way, but how have you coped with it? And obviously, we're here now. Obviously, the Denver Broncos played the Eagles and the Patriots back-to-back and packed about blowout losses. And now these two teams are meeting in the Super Bowl. What are your takeaways, obviously, heading into this huge matchup? And what's your analysis on who you think is going to win between Tom Brady and the unsung hero, Nick Foles?
Gosh, well, I mean, it's tough as a Broncos fan to see the Patriots back in the Super Bowl, isn't it? I mean, it's just hard every single year. It's almost worse than the Raiders or somebody being in there to me. I mean, the Patriots are kind of, they've just become that boringly good team, like the San Antonio Spurs or anybody else. It's just, they're so good that they, you know, they expect to be there. They pretty much always get there. And so I try to talk myself into every single year, you know, how are the Patriots worse this year? Or maybe this is going to be the year where Tom Brady finally starts to show his age. But man, I mean, they just find a way. They're just well coached. They're well prepared, and they made great adjustments, I would say. Just looking from a non-Broncos fan standpoint, I think the Patriots made great adjustments after the first 4 weeks of the season, where, you know, it really looks like their defense was not going to be able to hold up throughout the course of a full season. But the final 12 weeks of the year, I mean, they really turned it up. I think they had the number one scoring defense the final 10 or 12 weeks of the season, which is pretty crazy for Bill Belichick and his staff to be able to have that kind of in-season turnaround. It's pretty remarkable to me. And the Eagles are in the preseason and thinking, man, this defense is so good. If they can show any sort of improvement offensively this year, this is a team that can really make some waves in the NFC. And sure enough, Carson Wentz, I mean, he blew me away with what he was able to do. I mean, he had an MVP caliber season, and the Denver Broncos get a front row seat to that. I think think maybe that game between the Eagles and the Broncos was kind of simultaneously a turning point for both teams, for the Broncos in the wrong direction, and for the Eagles it really propelled them forward. I mean, that was a dominant showing against a very good Denver defense, and I think that the Broncos kind of came away from that game dejected, and the Eagles came away feeling like, man, they just whooped up on the defense that's considered maybe the best in the league. And so I'm impressed by both teams, especially with the Eagles being able to sustain the loss of an MVP in Carson Wentz and to keep playing well and to put on the offensive showing that they did against the Minnesota Vikings last week. I mean, you've got to just tip your hat to them. And so I think this is going to be a great game between two very good, very well-coached, well-prepared teams. And honestly, it's a battle of strength on strength. I mean, what's the number one way to beat Tom Brady? Interior pressure. And what do the Eagles have in spades? They've got guys that can come up the middle and just wreck your offensive game plan. And so I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. And honestly, you know, as much as I'm rooting for the Eagles, I really can't bet against the New England Patriots. I hate to even say it, but I think I'm going to have to take the Patriots as far as a prediction. But man, it's going to be a fun game to watch, I think.
I mean, I said it last week, and you know, after the Patriots beat the Jaguars, you know, the Jaguars had a lead. And one thing I was talking about was back in 2015 when the Broncos were up 14-3 on the Patriots, I was so uncomfortable. Despite a 11-point lead, you can never count yourself out. Tom Brady is at his best, in my honest opinion, when he is down. And we've seen that last year in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. We thought that game was over at halftime. Well, Tom Brady said, no, not so fast. And I tell you what, this is a testament to how well coached, you know, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are under Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia and mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels. Is, you know, when we see them struggle in a first half, we don't usually see them struggle in that area in the second half. They do a very good job of making those quick adjustments mm-hmm. and translating over in the second half. I thought they did a phenomenal job. Now, against the Jaguars, the Patriots were getting gashed by Leonard Fournette and Blake Bortles. In the second half, they pinched it down a little bit and made it more stingy, and it was hard for Blake Bortles to have a lot of success running the ball. Leonard Fournette got taken out of the equation because they plugged the middle. They plugged the middle against the Jacksonville Jaguars, yep. and defensively, the Jaguars, Tom Brady took advantage of them across the middle, which I felt like was the only place you could really try to take some shots against this Jaguars team, is attacking their middle of their secondary, because on the outside you have Boye, and on the other side you have Jalen Ramsey. You have to try to find a way to attack that interior, and they did a very good job of that, and you know, Tom Brady's getting some help from the guys of Deion Lewis and James White, and who would have thought that the Patriots would be back here, mm-hmm. the number one seed in the AFC, back in the Super Bowl once again without a guy like Julian Edelman. When Julian Edelman tore his ACL in the preseason, right. We felt like, I know I did from a standpoint, that man, Julian Edelman was the workhorse for the Patriots. Now they have Rob Gronkowski.
Yep.
I would hazard a guess and say Rob Gronkowski is okay. He's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. Haven't heard a lot about the concussion protocol. I think he's okay now. You know, that's something we've been following. But, you know, even after Gronkowski got hit in the first half and didn't come back in the second half, many people look to the Miami game where the Patriots struggled on Monday Night Football against Miami without Gronkowski, and all he had was Amendola, Chris Hogan, and obviously James White at tailback and Deion Lewis, and the combination of those guys couldn't have success against Miami at that point. But they didn't have that issue against a very stingy and a very stout, young, and talented defense down there in Jacksonville. And I tell you what, that was a great matchup. And I tweeted it out, and I got a lot of hatred from it because, you know, on Twitter, you know, it just opens up everything. But I said, you know what, you may not like the guy, but gosh darn it, you got to respect Tom Brady. He's a damn good quarterback. And as much as I dislike him, I can't deny the fact that he's probably going to end up as the greatest quarterback of all time. Just his ability, his competitive nature, that's what makes Tom Brady successful and elite. And I tell you what, he's so cerebral. You know, I tuned in, sadly enough, I hate to admit this, mm-hmm. I tuned into his Tom versus Time thing, and he said most 39-year-old guys, you know, when they go to throw a football, they go like, ah. And he says, not me, I can rip that MF. And he curses, you know. We've seen it before with Tom Brady, but I tell you what, he's a competitor. But I tell you what, the unsung hero, like I said, Nick Foles has done a phenomenal job stepping in for Carson Wentz after Carson Wentz tore his ACL. Like you said, it almost appeared upward for the Eagles after that Broncos game. Carson Wentz was efficient. He was a surgeon, and he diced up the Denver Broncos secondary with Chris Harris Jr. and obviously Aqib Talib. And it was an ugly game. Defensively, that was probably the worst game we've seen from the Denver Broncos in a long time, especially when you surrender 50 points. But Carson Wentz, you know, the Eagles were written off as soon as Carson Wentz tore his ACL. And we look at Carson Wentz, and obviously in his second year, and we're thinking, okay, well, if he could do that in his second year, what can Paxton Lynch do? Obviously, for the Broncos, the Paxton Lynch experiment hasn't worked out, hasn't been a similar story. He's been battling injury. But Nick Foles is a guy who's bounced around, obviously had a majority of his career in Philadelphia, went San Francisco and obviously LA, and now he's back in Philadelphia, and he has an opportunity to lead them to the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. It almost brings me back. I almost kind of think that the Patriots dynasty almost sort of began against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and now it's come full circle. I mean, a lot of speculation on the year that this could be the last year Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft have something together. I'm eager to see how that plays out, but you know, obviously they downplay a lot of that, but I'm looking forward to this game. I think defensively it's going to be a tough game. Tom Brady's going to have his work cut out for him, but at the same time, I think Nick Foles is going to have his work cut out with him too, because Matt Patricia's done a phenomenal job of getting that defense right, and if they make mistakes, if they're struggling in one area, they quickly adjust to it. And so obviously I think that's something we're going to look forward to next season, seeing how they do without Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels. It's definitely something I'm looking forward to. So Sarah, if you could predict the score an outcome for this game, what does your heart tell you?
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be a pretty close game. I think it'll come down to, you know, as it did last year, kind of a final drive type of thing. These are two, like I said, strength on strength. I'm going to go ahead and say it might be a little bit on the higher end of scoring, just because, you know, if Tom Brady gets rolling, then the Eagles are going to have to play keep up, and I think that they're at least in some regards, I think they're capable of that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Patriots win this one, 30-24. I'll give them a 6-point edge there, but I think it is going to be really close, and I think that they're going to have to give the Eagles everything they've got to win this game. So, but I think it could be something like that. I do think the Patriots will be able to score the ball. They might even trail for three quarters, but I don't think it's going to be as extreme as it was last year, where they were down 28-3. So sorry for any Falcons fans who didn't want to be reminded of that, but I don't think the Patriots are going to be that flat for three quarters. I do think, though, that there's a chance that they'll even trail for a little while in this game. Maybe the Eagles have a big special teams or defensive touchdown, but ultimately I just feel like Tom Brady's going to be Tom Brady again, and we're going to eventually see him put them back on top. What is this now, his 19th ring? So I think we'll finally, I know, it just feels like every year he's been in the league, he's won it. So that's kind of what I think is going to happen.
Well, I look forward to the matchup. You know, your score prediction is almost similar to mine. I had mine at 30-27, so it's kind of a 3-point swing, but in favor of New England. Obviously, a late field goal kick propels them, obviously, in a very close game. But I'm excited for it. Anytime you get to see the Super Bowl, you know, you obviously get a lot of cool commercials. That's one thing I like the Super Bowl for. I absolutely hated the Super Bowl commercials when the Broncos were playing the Panthers in Super Bowl 50, but it almost kind of reminds you, just watching the Super Bowl, of what it, you know, you can't imagine until your team is there the emotions that you feel. I know for me, I felt very anxious. I felt very stressed. I was sweating bullets. And I tell you, it was very rough. It was a rough go. But the entire time it was laser concentration on the TV and kind of just, you know, hands on the ears, not listening to, you know, side conversations. And it's a good feeling. But, you know, the New England Patriots fans, you could tell by, you know, obviously Bill Belichick, when they had the AFC Championship trophy presentation, he just kind of handed it off like, I got too many of these, I'm going to put it in my closet. Just the, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. So
I look forward to it. Obviously, my score prediction, 30-27. Sarah's is 30-24. New England wins again, and this could be the last time we see Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and obviously Kraft together, the nucleus and the system of the New England Patriots. So that's going to be something eager to follow, obviously, through the offseason.
Oh, man.
Man, but before we get to our next segment, obviously, I want to take the time to tell you guys about what we have going on over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, obviously, Adam Marta is over at Denver Stiffs. He's the contributor for Locked On Nuggets. He's the host of Locked On Nuggets over here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can catch him daily, Monday through Friday, over here on the Locked On NBA Network. Locked On Nuggets, Adam Mattis, as well as Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL. Obviously, the Super Bowl is the prime topic of discussion this week. You can catch all his latest news, analysis, and recap over there at Locked On NFL. So, Sarah, obviously jumping into our second segment. I know we're running a little bit short on time here, but, you know, I was looking at the Denver Broncos defense, and there's just something, you know, as good as they are, I'm still looking at areas where they can even upgrade to become even better. And I tell you what, I tweeted it out a little bit ago over on my Twitter handle, at Cody Rourke NFL, and the more film I watch on Roquan Smith, the more I want him in a Denver Broncos uniform at number five, which is kind of me hoping that, you know, Kirk Cousins and free agency pans out. I'm not sure what the Broncos are planning on doing, but all the rumors point to them aggressively pursuing him. So if they could do that, if Roquan Smith is available at number five, I guarantee you he goes top 15. So if you could snag him, that would be amazing. He's just got the ability. He reminds me a lot of Danny Trevathan, except a lot more athletic and a lot more scarier. He complements Brandon Marshall very well on the inside. Brandon Marshall can focus on stopping the run, where he excelled at and led the team in tackles. And Roquan Smith can be just as effective in stopping the run, but he gives you a little bit of a dynamic ability to have a lot of success covering tight ends or inside receivers or backs out of the backfield. Roquan Smith can do it all, and we saw that in the national championship game against Alabama. We saw it against Oklahoma, the most prolific offense in college football this year, and I'm just more excited about it day by day. But if you could analyze the Denver Broncos defense, I look at a lot of areas. Obviously, pass rusher. Von Miller had a phenomenal year. People say he had an off year, but he had 84 total pressures, and he had 10.5 sacks, and he was primarily game-planned against by every offensive coordinator in the National Football League. They didn't have much of a pass rush on the opposite side. Are you concerned about that going forward? Are you confident in Shane Ray or Shaquille Barrett's ability to maybe right that a little bit? And I think, obviously, adding some interior pressure can definitely help those guys thrive on the outside a lot more.
Yeah, you know, I felt like Shane Ray was ready for a breakout season this year, and unfortunately, he suffered about as bad of an injury as you can, aside from a season-ending knee injury or Achilles injury or something like that. I mean, as a defensive edge player, and specifically someone like Shane Ray, who uses a lot of power, speed-to-power conversion, he suffered about the worst possible injury he could have. And that was obviously the wrist injury that kept him out for basically half the season, and then he dropped all the weight, and he wasn't as strong in the upper body when he came back, understandably, because, you know, with a wrist injury, you can't really train the upper body. So I feel really confident in Shane Ray. 2 years ago, he had 8 sacks, and that was really just off of pure cleanup. There were obviously times when Shane Ray did a great job of beating his guy. I think the Cincinnati game against Andrew Whitworth was a really good example of that that year. I still remember that game because he really had a breakout game. And that was also the game where Trevor Siemian threw 4 touchdown passes. So, side note, what happened to that guy? but I think all things considered, I really am confident in Shane Ray. I think Shaquille Barrett is more of the run defending disruptor at the edge position. I know Broncos country for some reason feels the need to have these debates about who's better, Shane Ray or Shaquille Barrett. Well, they're both good young players, so why can't we just enjoy having both of them while we do? But I think Shane Ray's the better pass rusher, and I'm excited to see what he can do as far as creating a more diverse pass rush skill set. But he needs to be healthy. That's the key, obviously, for anybody. But, you know, when we see him healthy, I think he's going to make a huge impact. But I think upgrading the Broncos defense, it starts from the inside out. I think that the loss of Malik Jackson was a lot more impactful than any Broncos fan really wanted to admit at the time. But now looking back in retrospect, it's like, wow, we should have just given that guy whatever he wanted. You know, sign the blank check, Malik, and we'll keep you around because that interior pressure is so impactful. But I think that also to losing him and DeMarcus Ware the same year, basically, as DeMarcus was, you know, he was injured most of that 2016 season. I think that that really was the key for the Broncos there in terms of not having that secondary rusher on the other side of Von Miller that combines the speed and power on the edge and the diverse skill set to get to the quarterback. That was really, to me, the biggest thing. But you know, you can never have too many pass rushers on the interior or off the edge, I think. So I'd love to see the Broncos upgrade there. And there's a few guys, there's actually quite a few guys, I think, this offseason that they could find. But then, like you mentioned, the inside linebacker position, that's got to be upgraded. I mean, everybody's a free agent except for Brandon Marshall. So got to find somebody to play there. And I love this year's class. This year's inside linebacker class from the underclassmen to the seniors is excellent. And so the Broncos are shaped up really well there, I think.
And I think it helps, obviously, having, you know, the fifth pick and having a low pick in almost every round that you, you know, for minus the parts where you never traded, and obviously somebody else has your pick due to a trade. I just think that overall the Denver Broncos have to find a way to upgrade. And a guy who really impressed me this year, and I know he impressed you because we talked a lot about it, was Shelby Harris. Was a guy who came out of nowhere on the interior and kind of provided with the Denver Broncos with some hope on the interior. But then also at the same time, you factor in the health of Derek Wolfe, who may retire. We don't know what the situation is with him. We probably won't know until minicamp starts around, maybe after the draft a little bit. But, you know, the Denver Broncos have been hurting on the interior, and obviously, offensively, they're hurting at right tackle and obviously at quarterback. But I think upgrading inside linebacker is a huge key. You know, a lot of people are talking about Aqib Talib being traded or obviously cut by the Denver Broncos. I just don't see that happening yet. But you got to factor in, too, Bradley Roby. He's a young guy. He's entering the last year of his rookie contract. He's going to be due for an extension. So John Elway's got a very tough task in determining how he's going to manage the payroll flux of things, especially as you have to make some of these very tough decisions. And obviously we talked about too, you know, some tough guys could be let go, or, you know, in Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. I think Emmanuel Sanders is the more likely of the two given all the recent circumstances regarding his situation and just a lot of questionable things that have been going on with him. I think if anybody had to make a decision, I think it would be Emmanuel Sanders hitting the road for Denver. But obviously upgrading at inside linebacker and obviously the interior, I feel like are going to be areas where the Denver Broncos really have to look. I think, like you said, health for Shane Ray is a big factor. If he can stay healthy and he doesn't hurt his hand again and training camp or mini camp, and has the ability to stay in the weight room, put on that weight, I feel like we're going to see the same dominant Shane Ray we saw in 2016, where he had 8 sacks, like you mentioned. So those are just areas I'm really looking forward to, obviously, as the draft approaches. Free agency starts March 12th through March 14th, and obviously that's when the frenzy is going to begin. It's going to be busy for both of us, I know that. And the draft in April, so I'm looking forward to that. But you had a very unique opportunity this past week to go to Alabama and observe not only just the Broncos coaching staff and the newly acquired guys they have there, but obviously some very talented prospects in this year's upcoming NFL draft. Tell me about your experience in Alabama over at the Senior Bowl. I know you got to interact with a lot of good football minds, and I'm sure it was an experience you may never forget, and I definitely look forward to hopefully doing that as well next year. So spill the beans, man. How was your trip to Alabama, and what did you learn? What did you take away?
Oh my gosh! I mean, it was everything that I pictured it would be, and then some. I mean, it was if you can just picture a small area, maybe a 5-mile radius, being just the NFL city. That's what it felt like. It just felt like anytime you looked out the window, there was a big name NFL executive or coach or you know, draft prospect or something like that. Everywhere that I went, from the time that I got on my plane to Mobile to the time that I departed from Mobile. I mean, on my plane to Mobile, I sat next to Kevin Sumlin's defensive line coach from Texas A&M, and on the way home, I walked past Gary Kubiak and Reggie McKenzie and all these different guys on my flight back to Houston. So it was, I mean, from the moment I stepped off the plane there, it felt like you were walking into this mini NFL city, kind of like, you know, my daughter loves Disney World and you're walking around and there's this princess and there's another princess. It was like that with NFL, you know? I mean, I walked into Ladd People Stadium, and as I'm walking in, there's just all these people congregated, and you walk past John Lynch, and you kind of are awestruck by, wow, that's John Lynch, and then there's Steve Atwater, and then there's Drew Rosenhaus, and then there's, you know, Sean McDermott walking out of the elevator. You're just kind of in the hotel lobby, and it's just crazy, man. I had the privilege of meeting up with a couple of our Broncos, our fellow Broncos fans / NFL draft fans, and writers, Carl Dummler from Mile High Huddle and Jeffrey Essery from Mile High Report. And so it was just an honor for me to even be there and to see what all these people do as far as their work and how they approach things. And then obviously to watch the practices and to be on the field after practices, talking to players and talking to executives and coaches and just getting to bump shoulders with these guys. It was crazy. It was an awesome experience. I'll never forget it, that's for sure. And I definitely can't wait to go back, but you just get an opportunity to be up close and see how all this works and see how seriously these people take it. I mean, you know, Nick Saban's popping up there, and I remember there was one day at practice, I think it was day two of practice, standing field level as Nick Saban walked in. And of course, you know, Mobile is in South Alabama, and so there's a lot of Crimson Tide fans that are kind of freaking out in the stands to just say, oh man, Nick Saban's here, you know. And and then I start to hear people talking to this guy who came and stood next to me, this bald guy with a beard, and they're like, hey, thanks so much for all that you did for Alabama, to this guy. And I'm like, man, what, who the heck is this guy? And then all of a sudden he calls over Nick Saban's handler, and they're just chatting away, and I'm like, man, this guy obviously knows people, so what the heck is going on here? And then come to find out that it was Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator from Alabama, who's just kind of taken in practice right next to me, and now he's obviously the coordinator at the Buffalo Bills. But I mean, that kind of stuff would just happen daily, you know, where you're watching practice and you look behind you and there's Jerry Jones or there's Andy Reid, or, you know, walking up the concourse to the stands and you're walking behind Eric DaCosta, one of the key personnel members for the Baltimore Ravens, Ozzie Newsome's right-hand man. So it's just nuts, man. It was an awesome experience. I would love to be able to experience it with you and get to meet up with you there. I mean, that's one of the great parts of it. You know, all these people that you talk to and interact with on Twitter, in the football world online, you get to meet up with them as well. So it's just a really, really cool experience.
Well, hey, man, I'm booked. I'm going. I'm going to go next year. That's the plan. Obviously, I'll see you at training camp this year as well, if you get a chance to make it out to Denver. Mm-hmm. I know I plan on being down there covering a few days of training camp for the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Podcast Network. I know a lot of guys from the Locked On Podcast Network made the trip down there to Mobile and got a chance to see that as well. So it's definitely an experience that I am going to be taking, obviously, next year. So, man, I just hearing you talk about all the personalities that you had a chance to meet and potentially, you know, even have some conversations with, that right there is a grown man's Disney World. And I tell you what, you know, just being able to look around, mm-hmm. like you said,
that's right.
I could imagine being awestruck at looking at a guy and seeing John Lynch, like, man, that, you know, that used to be one of my favorite hard-hitting safeties, and he's right there. And, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time, you know, like, man, this is crazy. This is a lifestyle that I think I could probably get used to. Just you explaining it, describe the lifestyle, an area where I want to be for the rest of my life is just covering football, the National Football League, being around all these big name
guys.
One quick thing, you know, I want to ask before we get off air here is, you know, there was a lot of controversy, yeah. a lot of question regarding Baker Mayfield, and, you know, you got a chance to see him up close and personal in mm-hmm. practice. Tell me about, what does he look like in practice and in person than he does in real life and on TV? Because I don't think it does justice to how athletic and how gifted this guy really is.
Right, man, honestly the best thing about Baker Mayfield wasn't how he threw the ball, it wasn't how he, you know, mechanically improved over the week, because he did. I mean, he's a great thrower of the football. He's very accurate. He does great throwing the ball on the run, and I saw him make huge strides just taking snaps under center and working on his drops throughout the week. But the most impressive thing about Baker Mayfield is the kind of teammate that he became to those guys just immediately. just watching him between drills, he was the first one to sprint to the next drill. And he was also the first one to congratulate his teammates. You know, there was a lot of talk about the you know, maybe there being some sort of rivalry between Allen and Mayfield at the Senior Bowl, but it was Mayfield who was over congratulating Allen after every good rep, or it was Mayfield who was congratulating Alan Lazar, Cedric Wilson for making a great catch during practice, or going over and congratulating a running back for making a nice cut or something like that. It was that kind of thing from Mayfield that really sold me on him as a teammate, which I think a lot of people question because of some of his antics. You know, we all know about the public intoxication and resisting arrest. We all know about, you know, his, you know, what he did in the Kansas game to kind of draw some negative publicity. But that, I don't think that has anything to do with his personal character. I think it has everything to do, maybe he's made mistakes as a young man, of course. I mean, I'm sure we've all got stories like that, but this is a guy that I think is just going to be a perfect fit for any franchise in the league because he does all the football things well. He's such a natural football player, but he understands how to relate to teammates. I mean, he was best buddies with Alan Lazard. I got to talk to Alan Lazard after practice one day, the Iowa State wide receiver. And of course we know Iowa State nearly ruined Oklahoma's their chances at the college football playoff with their upset winner this year. But Alan Lazard was highly complimentary of Baker Mayfield, and it seemed like they were best buddies during practices as well. And so I think his instant relatability was the thing that really stood out to me. And of course, as a player, just the anticipation throws, the ability to make throws on the run, his accuracy with the football, and his ability to know when to put some zip on the ball and when to kind of put some air underneath it and put some touch on passes. It was impressive to watch him work throughout the week. And I think, you know, as far as the Broncos are concerned, you almost wonder if he didn't do enough at the Senior Bowl week to kind of convince them that, you know what, if we can't get Kirk Cousins at our exact price, I feel comfortable about this guy being that. And even to the point that I'm worried that other teams, including the Cleveland Browns or New York Giants, might fall in love with him as well. So I was really impressed with what I saw from Baker Mayfield.
Well, I look forward to obviously seeing the growth of Baker Mayfield, and who knows, we might see him in a Denver Broncos uniform at training camp. But one thing I want to touch base on real quick is, you mentioned it, you know, what stood out about him was his ability to be a good teammate. Now, when I was watching the Senior Bowl, Josh Allen made some big runs, and the running backs made some big runs, and the first person to run up to them on the sideline or come onto the field to congratulate them was Baker Mayfield. That right there was an instant mm-hmm. eye-opener for me. You know, and his teammates, you know, it's crazy, you know, based on, you know, the instance he had prior, some off-the-field stuff, it happens with young men, that his teammates have always spoken in high regard about the type of teammate that he is, and I think NFL executives have started to pay attention to that. So I look forward to seeing what Baker Mayfield can do in the National Football League. He's a prolific player, and who knows, we may see him in the orange and blue, and that would be something definitely fun, and I'd be okay with if they didn't get Kirk Cousins to get Baker Mayfield. Yeah. So Sarah, once again, I want to thank you, man, for taking the time to obviously jump out of your schedule and be able to talk with me, talk Broncos here on Locked On Broncos, and tell our fans and our listeners how they can catch more of your work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can find me on Twitter at Sayer Bettinger. You can always check out my written stuff over at predominantlyorange.com or nflmocks.com. And, you know, I love football. I'm passionate about it. So if anybody ever has anything they just want to discuss, that's the number one reason that I do it, is I just love to bounce ideas off of fellow football fans and just kind of get things out there in the open and talk about it. So I love it, man. And I love the Locked On Broncos show. And I love the work that you do. So appreciate you having me on for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back on here in the near future as well. I think you bring a great analysis to it as well. So I look forward to that. So fans and listeners of Locked On Broncos, this is Sarah Bettinger over at Predominantly Orange. You can catch his work at Sarah Bettinger on Twitter, and obviously I will tag you in a tweet here after we post the show, and fans can follow you there. But great analysis as always, my man, and I obviously look forward to speaking with you more as the season progresses.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Cody. I appreciate that, man.
Yep, no problem.